What's the weather like this morning in at Park Lake Farm?
There's a little bit of freezing drizzle right now, and it's not too dramatic. There's about a quarter inch of ice on the windshields and stuff, but I don't think the roads are too bad. I don't know.
Do you have anything up in your garden that's getting coated with ice?
Oh, no. Yeah, this would be way too early for me to have anything outside. Although many years ago, I might have planted at the very end of April if the conditions looked favorable. But yeah, no.
Well, you know, in my garden, there's some garlic that poked up, and there's, I think there there's some rhubarb that's growing and things like that, but it's getting rained on and sleeted on. And do you think that's going to hurt it?
No. No, I don't. I don't think you have any concerns with any of the things that winter over and, you know, come up once the frost is out of the ground. It's not going to be that cold. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, that's good. But getting snow and getting ice on a date like this, will that be a setback in terms of when we start putting things in the ground?
Well, depends on what kind of soil you have. This weather is going to continue through Monday on and off, and so the ground is going to get pretty wet if it isn't, you know, in some places it's already kind of wet. Folks who have sandy loam or sandier soil of one type or another, you know, dry out quite a bit faster than those who have heavy soil. So for some folks it could take 2 to 3 weeks before things dry out, you know, and some people it's only a matter of 3-4 days if and when the sun actually shines and it gets, you know, 60 degrees or more.
So what's going to be the first thing that you would typically put in the ground?
Typically, I would say that the best things to put in the ground early, and, you know, that would be ideally right around the beginning of May if conditions look good, would be spinach seed, arugula seed, and if I were going to direct seed lettuce, but I don't, I transplant it, lettuce seed. Those are things that are quite safe. They're not going to, those seeds do not rot in cold, wet soil. So that's what I mean when I say safe. They germinate in relatively cool soil, especially spinach and arugula. So even if your soil is still at like 50 degrees, they will eventually germinate, although they are a little slower at that temperature. I would avoid, if the soil is still cold and wet, I would avoid peas, even though a lot of people say plant peas early. They will rot under cold, wet conditions unless they're treated seed.
Why do you grow your lettuce from transplants rather than direct seeding it?
Well, in the end, I believe it's less work for me, and I get a nicer product. When you direct seed lettuce, you inevitably have to do a significant amount of thinning. And this may date back to a time when I grew a lot more lettuce. I used to probably transplant and sell about 3,000-something heads per year, and that would have been on a kind of every 10 days average transplanting. Once you've got a transplant in, and I set them 1 foot apart, then all you have to do is maybe cultivate once just to, you know, let the weeds know you're not happy with them. And that's about all you have to do, and then just cut it. They get off to a quick start, they grow bigger, and in the end, I think there's less labor in weeding and thinning them. That's why I do it that way. I don't try to talk anybody into doing it, you know, that way if they don't like that idea. And I know sometimes you just don't plan ahead, and so you haven't started them. And it is a little bit quicker to put them directly in the ground once the ground is, say, above 60 degrees. You know, and there's a lot of different kinds of lettuce, and they vary in maturity dates. But if you take a lettuce, it's typically going to take you 50 days from the time you put it in the ground to the time you have a full-sized plant. It'll probably be closer to 60 days by the time you get it out of the ground to harvest if you've transplanted it. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of extra time that way. If you started it early and you know, set it in the ground, say, like in early May, then obviously you're shortening up the time or at least, you know, you're getting it earlier. So right. Those two kind of contradictory ideas, yeah.
And soil temperature, you've mentioned that a few times. How do you take its temperature?
Well, I do actually have a soil thermometer. And, you know, you can also just go by the way it feels. Sometimes I like to, you know, work by more like folk wisdom. And so I used to do certain things when the soil was comfortable enough for me to walk on it barefoot. Then I, you know, I would say, oh, I guess it's okay to plant carrots and parsnips today. I like to wait until the soil's a little bit warmer for those, even though the seeds are quite hardy. And the reason is they take a long time to germinate. And if you plant them when the ground is really cool, they take even longer. And, of course, as anybody who gardens knows, that's a lot of time to allow weeds to germinate. And by the time your crop comes up, you've got a lot of weeds in there. So,
you know, one of the things that I've planted too early on numerous occasions is beans. Mm-hmm. Seems like I get bad germination if I put beans in the ground too early. Are there other things we have to be really watchful for?
Yes. I would say, in my experience, sweet corn is even more problematic. Sweet corn will take a very light frost, so you don't worry quite as much about frost. But sweet corn will rot. I've had sweet corn rot in the soil. Well, in 1992, it rotted when I planted it on the 1st of July, which was kind of a waste of seed anyway, but I was just kind of annoyed with that summer. Basically, if your soil is not better than close to 60 degrees or better, and it's wet, the sweet corn seed, unless it's treated, will probably rot. So on that chart that I sent you, mm-hmm. I believe I've got sweet corn directed seeded, June 1st through 10th. I know some people planted earlier, but in my area, we do get a lot of cool, wet weather off of Lake Superior in June. And so on the 2nd or 3rd of June, if the soil is still cold and wet, I wait.
So I want to ask you, is it possible, other than, you know, that things will not fruit, is it possible to plant too late?
Oh, yes. But yeah, it's a balance. Sweet corn, you know, I wasn't joking, because I actually did that. You know, I planted it. That it was the third time I planted it in 1992 the 1st of July, I guess it was. I would say the varieties that I plant, June 15th is about as late as I can plant them and hope to get a crop in. And a lot of this involves just counting days, and you're going to have to do it through your own observation on your own site, because, you know, the number of days to maturity that seed companies give you, that's not for your site. So if I take a sweet corn that's 70 days that I bought from Johnny Selected Seeds, it's usually about 90 days to maturity here. You just kind of have to kind of determine that on your own through experience or talking to other people in your immediate local area.
We are talking with Joel Rosen from Park Lake Farm in Carlton County. And Joel, you developed a sheet with some dates and notes for direct seeded and transplanted vegetables that you sent me, you know, a couple years back, maybe a few years back. And I have shared it and I have used it. Tell us about this sheet.
Well, I, you know, to be completely open about it, I developed and sent that to the Duluth Community Garden Newsletter. I think that's where it was originally probably printed. And it is intended for the Lake Superior region, and there are a few little notes on there talking about, you know, closer to the lake you can do this, you shouldn't do that. And that's really talking about, like, within less than half a mile from Lake Superior. I'm 30 miles from Lake Superior, so I'm definitely not in that narrow zone. I believe that this spreadsheet would apply pretty well to almost all of the KXD listening area, with just some minor adjustments. And the adjustments that you have to make, I think you can break it down into two main concepts. And one of those is your frost-free season for things that are frost-sensitive. And the other one, probably more important for a lot of vegetables, is your growing degree days. And growing degree days really just tells you how much warmth you get during the day. It's basically your average temperature for the day minus 50. Because most things don't grow a whole lot if your average temperature is under 50. A simple way to explain that is if you live right along the shores of Lake Superior, it might not freeze at all in June. But if it never, gets an average temperature over 50, things don't grow a whole lot either.
And then as you go west across Minnesota and you're moving out of the Lake Superior Basin and you're hitting places like Virginia and Hibbing and Grand Rapids and Big Fork and Bemidji and Bagley and Fauston, do we get more heat or less?
Yes, more. As you travel west, there are more growing degree days, and there's a pretty good map that you can find on the DNR climatology website that will show you average growing degree days, and it's in color, with kind of like little zones. And it varies from as little as about, on average, I think 1,200 growing degree days in the far northeast corner right by the lake to as much as 2,000 plus. And if you've got 2,000 plus degrees, you can grow, a lot of stuff, warm weather stuff without too much difficulty. And then you just need to worry about frost in the fall.
Which you can protect. You can protect from that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of things, if you time it right, you shouldn't have too many. Some years we get those mid-August frosts, and that's a tough one. But that's not very common unless you live in one of the real frost-sensitive areas, and most people don't. I'm sure there's 3 or 4 listeners out there right now who typically get frosts in August and even sometimes in July as well, and they're just going to have to make more adjustments.
Get out the big sheets of plastic or whatever it is that you need to do.
Well, and I would say, grow more cool weather crops, because really the non-frost-sensitive things, there's more of them than there are of the things that are frost-sensitive.
So, Joel, you've been out of farming for a while, but I'm interested in your history. How did you get started in farming at Park Lake Farm, and what did you do while you were in the midst of it there?
Well, it was somewhat accidental, I guess. About 35, 40 years ago, I was a high school teacher, and I actually was a high school teacher in northern Couchiching County on the Canadian border at a little school called Indus. And my wife decided to go to vet school, and we moved down to the cities. And after she graduated, we bought this place, and I just kind of started fooling around, and it just developed into a farming occupation, I guess. It was semi-deliberate, I guess is what I would say. In the last 6 years, I guess, last 5 years, I've been inspecting other farms. And I'm not farming at all anymore.
But when you were farming, you grew, what did you grow? What was it like?
I grew just about, I grew certainly all the vegetables and herbs on that spreadsheet, and I also grew a few others that aren't on there. I grew a lot of specialty crops, and I also had livestock. I had sheep and turkeys and chickens, and I made maple syrup for sale as well. And the only one of those things I still do is I don't sell anything anymore. I still make maple syrup, and I still grow vegetables and herbs. So yeah. That's kind of about where we're at right now.
Are you trying anything new in your garden this spring?
I don't try new things. Are you talking about varieties or a different concept?
Any of the above, yeah. Concepts, yeah. Varieties, yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to try anything really new this year. There might have been one or two new varieties that I don't trial nearly as many varieties as I used to. Trialing varieties is a lot easier when you're growing on a bigger scale. if you're just growing for yourself and maybe a couple of other friends or family or whatever, there's only so many varieties of one thing that you want to grow, and it just gets kind of time-consuming, you know, and the return is... Well, you know, for instance, I try to grow 5 or 6 different kinds of tomatoes. And even that, to raise that many seedlings of different kinds, I always have too many and don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do less trialing. I will do one thing different next year, because I learned my lesson. Climate change, I think, is teaching me this lesson. For many years, I have planted hardneck garlic without mulching, with good success. And it looks like this year I'm not going to have any garlic, so... I think I will be mulching next fall.
All right. Well, Joel, thank you so much for talking with us today. I'm going to be sharing your document online on our website a little bit later today at kaxe.org. So if anybody is interested, it's set up, you know, what is the plant, when you can make plantings, a first, a second, a third planting, and then you have notes with a lot of the little helpful hints about all of these different vegetables.
If people really have questions, you could put my email address on there or something. Or, you know, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Well, Joel, thank you so much for talking with us today.
All righty. Bye-bye.